Beginning of Channel 2 Right, the beginning of Channel 2 Right, and continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Wednesday night, the 31st of March, 1971.
They have to do the work around the cows in the morning. Oh, they'll have to doctor the cows.
But you are holding your own, you know, to be the age you are.
I'm doing pretty well.
She's the youngest member of our family.
She gets around mighty good.
I'm a Tennessean.
You are?
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes. My nephew married a Tennessee girl. She's a nice person. They have, let's see, she got two boys and one girl. Three children.
Oh,
and they all finished school. The baby boy's in Vietnam. He was expecting home, you know, between 9 and June. So they said, I said, well, I thought they were going to get them all out of there, you know, in April. But they got until next year, I think, to get things cleaned out if they don't kill all of them before they can get out.
The
other two, one of them's out, and he's going back to finish his school. He's going to get his master's, a doctor's degree. Then the girl, while she graduated from school and taught one year, then she married, and she started a family. I think they got one child, and then she expects another. But she's a Tennessee girl, and she has a, you don't talk like a Tennessean. Now, she got a brogue. Of course, she's a lot younger than you are. I'd say she's 50. I'd say she's around 50 years old.
You don't talk to me. I'm a West Tennessean.
You are?
You know, there's difference in the West and the Middle and the East.
It is?
The East have a difference.
Well,
of course, not
one on this hill in the valley and the other mountain?
The boundary is just really divided, just like three different states.
It's been a good while since we've been up there, but when we went up there, we traveled that, what's the name of that special highway going up in the mountain?
I don't know, I haven't been up there in a long time.
you ought to know, what's the name?
Skyline Drive.
Yeah,
Skyline Drive. Or some such thing like that. Yeah.
That's
nice.
It's been a good while since been there, but that's the way we went.
Yeah.
And I just told you then to go. I remind you, you were talking about the middle and the east and the west. It seemed like, in other words, you can tell, in other words, it is a different type of country. Down here, you see so much, you know, similarity, but up there, while you can go, you know, a few miles and everything entirely different. But you're from the west.
That's right.
From the west.
Yeah, you knew that.
Western Tennessee.
Oh, that's different.
Kentucky land.
Yeah.
Well, that Kentucky, that's a beautiful country. Them hillside and them horses and them cattle. You know, they got them real cattle in there, that Kentucky, too, you know.
Yeah.
Real, real. Pretty horses.
Yeah.
Pretty country. The trees, in other words, I don't know what kind it is, whether cherry, sycamore, what it is, but the trees and seeing it all, you know, just really beautiful. I told some of them, I said, looks like they got plenty of horse territory up there. Well, I'm coming down and using our state for horse.
Yeah,
I said,
it.
Said, well,
it's
they said
up.
The climate down here is what, you know, making them come down and leave horses. Give me about a half a cup.
I don't know just why. What's that? What did I do with my stuff?
It's mine over here, I reckon. Yeah. You must have moved yours.
I don't know what it's over there, see? Right over
there. You're going to take that kind? Is that the same?
It's the same. He poured it out in this jar.
Oh, did he?
I think you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
It said Knoxville House, but it's still AMP. If somebody stranger come, they couldn't tell what it was, did they? I can't tell much difference. I can, you know what, I got the house at Maxwell House. I have a house 7 miles off.
Nice.
I just set it on that. You got in yours? You haven't put in yours yet, have you?
No.
And this don't keep you awake,
then? No, ma'am. I still make me have to go to the bathroom too. I can get up at night, in other words. A lot of people, when they get old, in other words, they don't go anyway. But I'm getting a little age on them, but, you know, coffee. But I still have to go to the bathroom. And like I am too, it's a little hard for me to get to the bathroom. In some houses, in other words, where I shake the house, see, because I pull this leg off when I go to bed, see. And I hop, you know, rather than put it back on, I hop, you know, to the bathroom. I'm still, you know, young enough where I'm hot. You knew I had artificial energy.
How much of it?
Below the knee.
Yeah.
Below the knee.
I got a new one on, I can't use this one as well as I can the old one. My Sunday leg, sad little Sunday leg that I got on, and I got one that I wear in every day. I got two, spare.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. This is right new one here, I don't have this. Let me see, I got the thing Thanksgiving. He said, I'm going to have it ready for you on Thanksgiving. I made this one here right here in Gainesville. The first one I had, I made it in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not sure why they made it, on Peace Street. Then the next two was made in Jacksonville. Next three. Made in Jacksonville, and this is the fifth one I've had. It's made right here in Gainesville. They got a new place there next to the Blood Donor Bank. You know where the Blood Donor Bank is? The new building where it is? And the artificial limb place right next to it got all that. $11,000 worth of equipment in one little room.
I didn't know they made anything.
Yeah, they make these limbs. And that old boy I knew him in Jacksonville, and he wanted to make one. I said, well, I need one, and well, quite a story behind it. My brother wanted to get a lawsuit against them. I said, the individual, they got a lawyer. You can't do anything with them. They had the limb and they had a cleaning. You know, like people, you know, clean out your junk. You know, you say if you've had a drawer or something other, you clean out and throw away something other you wish you had. Well, they done the leg that way. And they had it there to do some repairs on it. I was going to spend about $70 on it and you know, keep it going. I still had one. I wasn't, out. And that's that. They had a cleaning, and somebody, misplaced my leg. But it wasn't this boy. One of the head men, I think, misplaced my leg. Man, I throwed it in the garbage. But it wasn't garbage. If I spent thought enough, I had to pay $70. It wasn't garbage. It's so out. See. But I told my brother, you can't sue them, but they're willing to do something about it, rather than go back to the head company. Now, this was an individual outfit, but the boy that did the thing, he married the daughter of J.E. Hangers, young fella. His name is Wilson. Wilson married Hanger's daughter. So he was in the company, a corporation with the company. Well, he didn't want his pa, to... Pa-in-law never know anything with, about him, doing a trick like that. You like people, make mistakes. Like I got to finish the story about telling you up here. I know I mentioned a while ago about coming by the stockyard, didn't I? And I'll tell you that in a minute.
All right.
But my mother said that I should have been a lawyer or preacher. I talk so much. I mean, you like Bedford? He said, when that talking boy coming back over here and work some more? He said he'd be over here in another couple of weeks if he don't go with the taters. He coming over and going to help me with that corral. He's going to build a new corral over there. I think it'll cost $1,000, $2,000. It's rumbling now, cost you $3 a board, right at it. And them folks, they, like I said, they're going up about $2 and something a piece. For 4 inch, 4 to 6 inch, they're about $2 or $3 now a piece. Anyway, he said, I want to do what's right. Says, I'm going to get with this boy and I'm going to, get the job of building a leg, and you won't have to go to Jacksonville. I'm going to be in Gainesville. I got charge of this store here in Gainesville. But I'm going to see this boy, because I'm under him. He's my scratch, just like up at the university. They got too many scratches and too many boss men, and nobody do the work. Well, that's the way he was, but they didn't want to get back to the head company in Atlanta, Georgia. And they got the factory all over Florida and all over the world, United States. And he says, I'll see them, and I'll call you. And let you run by him and see me. So he did. He called me, phoned my sister-in-law, called me and said that Mitchell Rabb wants you to come by, Thursday between 2 and 4 o'clock. He wants to talk to you about the legs. I told my sister-in-law, all right. So I went on by there about 2 and I had to wait, about 15, 20 minutes. He'd gone out to the medical center, to the clinic or somewhere to take a fitting or see about, getting somebody arm or something else. And they decided that they'd better do something, in other words, because I told him, and I said, well, I don't think that I should lose, my limb, in other words, and I was going to spend $70 on it. I said, them things cost something now. I said, that one there, it's about 6 years old, or 7. But I said, it cost about $225 or $250. You can look on your record, and see how much it cost. But I said, now then, they're like automobile, they're double. say $500, $600 now, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And I said, but I can't stand anything like that. I said, I'm a poor boy anyway. And he said, well, he says, are you willing to take half? And I said, well, that'd still be too much. That'd still half would be as much as what I'd paid for the thing, and I'm going to pay $70 to get it fixed. And I figured the thing, you know, would be worth, you know, $170 or $200 when I got it fixed. And I said, I figured that way I ought not to pay over $170 or $200 and me get a brand new leg. That's what I told him. And he said, well, that's what I'll do. He said, I'll just make you a brand new one and fit you and give you a stump and give you socks, $200. I told him, all right. So he started to work on it. I went up there a couple of times and it's right. But I got a $500 leg. For $200, but I lost my old one, you see, trade in other words. But it's better than having a lawsuit, cause you know how it went to the company and come back. Why, you can't do anything with a big company now with a lawsuit. And I told my brother, I said, "Do you just sign?" I said, "It'll cost me $500 to get a lawyer." In other words, fought the case. I said there wasn't no paper signed. They knew it. They had my leg, but I said all that company against me individually. He said, well, I knew that you carried the limb up there on a jack and they left them in the pad and he went up to time or two to see about it. They'd been busy, you know, like these mechanics, you know, getting something done.
Oh, is that right?
And they just couldn't get to it, in other words. Then they come along and had a house cleaning. They throwed by in the garbage and the garbage man carried it out there and dumped it in the river or the trash pile and burned it up.
Well, at least they haven't done your automobile, your tractor that way. Yet.
No, they haven't done it that way. But like that piece today, I got my insurance from the Farm Bureau today, from Gainesville,
yeah.
And they go going up on it, and they're telling me why they're going up on it, in other words. Well, I had it with Cotton States, you know, for a while, and then I went back to the Farm Bureau, and they were the best, but now and then they're getting where they're hiring more people, and they're paying, you know, the wages. You got to take care of that. Then is that card, you know, come in this letter. It says, in other words, it's what's coming. He said, now and then it says, they show you, and they're proving it. They're just going to record that, showing, you know, that, which is logical, and I guess it's true. That way back then, you know, you could buy an automobile, I said a minute ago, $1,500, they said. $1,500. Now and then that same car, he said, it cost you $3,500 to $4,500.
Yeah.
And he said, on top of that, he said, they're making them, you know, with cheaper grade materials, and something happened to it. And the price of material, the price of labor, union labor, it's gone up. He said, now, if you, this same car, it cost you, he said, $3,500. If you bought the parts, you know, from the companies, and had the labor to come along and put it on now, just make a guess what he said it would cost. You want to make a guess?
It's fantastic how much it costs.
$15,000.
Yeah.
$3,500 cost. It costs you $15,000 to get the part of that automobile and put it back. And he said, that's the reason the chunk went up. But he said, write to the representative, talk to your senators, and talk to your local authorities, and see if we can't do something about this. Well, as old saying, I want to tell you this other story. It's time we're getting them people, them thieves, and I went off the streets. You know what I mean? I'm kind of like the old Abernacki and them other niggas now. In other words, they preaching down with force. In other words, but that's what we need to do. The people that's running our country today, they don't have no value of our dollar. You and I, we pay a dollar in. We don't know where that dollar going. They're misusing our dollar. We don't mind paying something another, but we want to see them like they accomplish something. And they're getting, you know what, Farm Bureau, I told someone, I said, well, that new man they have in there now, Mr. Lynn, he started something now. He wants you to pay something for the marking of your cattle, in other words, and the charge is enough, and it is. They charge you $4 to $6 a head now to sell them to your market. Now they want to charge you $25 to join the dairy thing, in other words, and it don't make sense. If somebody making some money along the line, how in the world are they going to help you? I think it'd be better than the men from our charter to come in here and buy the calf, you know, like old Clarence Rowell. You don't know him, do you? You heard that name, I bet you. Clarence Rowell. He's a cousin of this Rowell you're talking about a minute ago.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he
I think up in there, no, there's one down the state running. He's Ken Tung too. The EC is, you know, running for office and got elected. What is he?
I can't please Clarence Rowell.
Clarence is the one that lives out on off of the Newberry Road and is farming with Wallace Cobb. You know Wallace Cobb?
Yeah.
He's doing a little cow farming with Wallace Cobb. They got a bunch of commercial cows.
Well, he's pretty good cow, man, if he
finds
the Wallace.
Yeah, because Wallace, he knows his stuff. I was going to ask Wallace about the, what he thought about the breed. I'll tell you this, man, I'm going to have to go in a minute. We're talking all night.
Yeah.
that's what my brother says when I go up to see him.
Yeah.
I said, well, you want to talk about business and how much you're grossing, in other words, but I'm not interested in that. But I said, I like to talk about stuff pertaining to what I'm doing, in other words. Now, you come up here, you want to talk about the business. Telling me gross, you know, $1.5 million, you know, as last year. I says, well, that's a pretty good business, but can you figure about half of that profit? Oh, no, you can't do that. The overhead and that building down there, $1,000 a month. Just rent on the building, $1,000 a month. That's what you tell me. And all the incidental, and they said there's about 14 or 15 men down there, and the cheaper one down there, about $60 to $70 a week. You know, color. And the white boy, in other words, the white men, in other words, they all making, you know, $90 or $100 a week. Well, that many men, you got a payroll to go out. And I said, well, that's the reason. I said, you get bigger and you have to put out more money and your overhead high and you have to get more labor and you have to invest more money in inventory. And I said, they all wind up. It's not what you're grossing, it's what you put on your hip. That's what I told him, sitting at the table. And to bring the money in, you know, cash receipts, you know, just like your dining room. Here's one of them old type, round type,
mm-hmm.
You know, like we got, I got one of them, you've seen them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I still have one.
Mm-hmm.
Woman, no cow, you know, wanted to give me $50, $100 for that in the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why don't you sell it to her? I said, well, I just don't need the money that bad to sell this old type table that's about 100 years old, a little better.
You
got the heavy legs,
that.
In other words, got the lead
mm-hmm.
thing you pull out and got the partition you put in this end,
yeah.
Put in that end.
Yeah.
And you make, you know, where it'll take care of you, about 12 people.
Yeah.
Or you can cut it down, you know, smaller, about like this,
yeah,
here for 4 people.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, he bring that money in and puts it on that table and account it. And he told me, he said, well, he says, I got to study my Sunday school lesson. He said, you going to me in the morning, not just church. I usually go to a cousin sometime, and I go with my brother one sometime up there, according to where I am, in other words. I told him, yeah, I guess I'll go with him. You know. So he said, you read out the checks and the numbers to my wife and let her set it down. So I did, and she got confused. You know, she wasn't used to my voice and the way I was doing. I was a little too fast for her. You know, something other happened. And she didn't say anything to me. She said, Tom, that's my brother's name, Tom said, you'd better come do this. Said, I can't understand Everett. Said, we might make a mistake. He said, well, I'm going to recheck it again. Said it probably be a little off or something. We'll have to recheck. Said, go ahead. No, said, I'm going to wait on you. So he laid the Sunday school book down and comes on. He takes it. Well, I'm glad of it because I didn't care about it. Well, in fact, the TV's on, you know, in the dining room, you know, here's a new type house. And from the dining room table, you know, I just turn around just a little bit. You don't see the TV in the opposite corner of the living room, you see. And I look in the, you know, interested in the program. I didn't go there to count money and I wouldn't keep book farming or nothing like that. But I didn't mind doing it. But then he was getting asked me about doing so much talking, in other words, when I come up there. But I said, well, I like to talk about things that's happening down around me, just like you want to talk about your business, in other words. But I got next to him and I said, what counts and what you put back here?
Well, what have they got to talk about?
Business. That's all they have got a regiment. I thought maybe he'd want to talk about, you know, maybe vacation or somewhere where he's been or ask about different things. Or
well,
maybe seen some of the relatives since he had or something.
What
but the business, right, in other words, you don't go up there to find out about people's business. I don't come over to visit with you, you know, see, well, how much money you make there last year? How many this, that, and other? Well, he don't expect me to tell him all that, but I like telling, you know, about different things that's happening, you know, around, you know, the neighborhood, about, you know, building up the community and things of that kind. But the cousin said, well, you say you feel more at home, Ed, when you come out to see me. That's the cousin. Now, this is my own brother, see. That's my own blood kin, you see. And this other is a cousin, this one. Said, you feel more at home in my house, don't you, Ed? She called me Ed. EBB is my nickname.
Yeah.
And I surely do. I said, I feel at home. And I said, I like to go with people. And Tom, I'm not at home, you know, but feel like, you know, it, maybe they want to do something and I'm not there. And a number of times I have made arrangements and get there and he wouldn't even, he done forgot about, you know, what he told me.
Yeah.
One night he said, come on, and says, we'll go out for supper. And he said, now you come on over there now. I get off from work, said I'll close at 6 and I'll be on home. It's about 3 miles, you know, on the expressway to where he lives. See, he lives in Murray Hill, you know, Jacksonville. It's this side of town. And his business where he's working is over on Pearl Street. That's on North Jacksonville, on out, you know, off of Main. And I went on and I come by the other store on the Beaver Street. That's on the old Lake City Road, you know where Beaver is, Beaver Street. And that's where the business is. And they came by and I, boy, keep going by the house, says, you carry receipts. And they had it in a cloth bag, you know. Well, they had, I think, $2,200, check, cash, and all in a bag. Said, you go on the house, you just can't want to go out. I said, somebody might rob me or something. I'm not bonded or insured or anything. I said, y'all just lose this money, somebody to hold me up. I said, oh, no, they ain't even know you got the money, in other words. And I said, all right, well, it ain't just a mile or anything from that business where Tom lived, up there on Post Street. And so I went on, and Tom wasn't there. And then I had that money, in other words. And I said, well, I know where the other boy, he lived another mile and a half, you know, on out towards your Atlantic Mills, in other words. And I said, I guess I'll go on out there. Well, there wasn't nobody home. He'd done, you know, gone in the company's little van truck, and his wife, she worked at the bank, Barnett National Bank, and she was off, and the neighbor said, I think they'd gone up to the grocery store there at the shopping center. Said, if you know the truck, you can find them, I reckon. Shoot, you just go in one of these shopping centers, you know, and go in a grocery store, why, there may be 100 people in there, 200. And me go walking around with $2,200 in the sack of money, I said, no good. And I said, well, I'm going on back. So I didn't go up there looking for him. I'd have recognized the truck. It had the company name on it, Seed Smith. I know I'd known the truck, read the sign. So I come on back then, and I stopped at the station there where my brother used to stop from the corner there, turn in to his house, and ask the man, had he seen him? In other words, had he got gas, you know, yesterday, the day of? Had he seen him? And this evening, he said, no, I haven't. Went on to the house, and Tom wasn't there. Then I come back then, and I said, well, I'm going to top of that filling station now. In other words, the house was locked. My brother's house was locked. And I didn't know where he kept the key hid, in other words. You know how it is in town. They keep everything locked. And so I went back up there and told him, man, how about you and your phone? I'm going to call the other boy, in other words. He lived way on out there on West Connect. What do you call it? That's way on out off of Blandon Road, you know, must have been 5 miles, you know, going in toward Keystone Heights way. And I said, I want to call him, ask Finn, he know anything about his daddy. I said, something else must have happened. You know, could have been a wreck or something involved or something. And I still had the $2,200, and I want to tell, that's his own son, in other words, I had that money yet, and I couldn't find anybody. I'm going to tell him to come get his sack of money and do something with it. And so Tim said he didn't know. Said, go on back to the house. And they knocked there. Let me call him back again. And I'll come over and we'll, you know, see if we can check on him. So I went back and he done come in and parked the truck in the driveway, you know, going up by the hedge at the back, the garage in the back. Got a separate garage, double garage. Keep the... He drive the pickup. He don't drive a van. His is just a 3/4 ton Ford pickup like this boy had out here. And the family car was underneath. He got one of those big Chevrolet Bel Airs or whatever it's called. It was in the garage and the door was locked, you know, and I couldn't see it, but I saw that pickup was in the driveway. And so I just stopped in front of the house on the street. I didn't pull in the driveway. And I stopped and went and knocked on the door. But when I went up the steps, I looked, you know, and see in the dining room through the little glass door on the side, you know, where the dining room door is and the door. I look on the left, I through the glass, and I seen him, he's sitting at the dining table. And I went and pushed the button, bell, and he come to the door and he's eating his supper. And telling me that we're going out for supper, though, and he and his wife. And he said he was late over at the place and says, Luella called and said she kind of sick. Had a migraine headache or whatever that is. I don't know what that is. Some headache some people have now. Anyway, she had a headache. And she'd taken some medicine and gone to bed. And had the car locked up. And she locked up in the back bedroom, in the bedroom. And he was late, you know, getting off, and so he just got him a box of chicken. And after telling me, I said, well, didn't you tell me you could have called me back? I said, you knew where I was before I was going to leave. I called Finn, he could have told me another way, and I could have went late with one of my other boys. You know, my niece's husband or either my own nephew, they gave me the $2,200. I had the sack. And I went and I put it on the table, and I said, well, I think she'll be all right. She's asleep now, and I didn't disturb her. And he's about to eat the chicken. He said, wait a minute, and I'll go back with you down at the Green Pig or the Green Turtle or some kind of restaurant, in other words, and I'll buy you supper. Well, I done rolled over at the end of Jacksonville to find somebody who didn't. And to tell you how forgetful I was, thinking of business, in other words, that's only mine. He left his window down on this same pickup, and it come on a lightning storm. I rolled mine up, and I saw it going to rain, but I didn't. He's a grown man, though. He's nearly about 8 years older than I am. He said he's going to retire, in other words. He was 65 this past July the 12th, but he hadn't retired yet, and them boys said he's not going to retire until he passes on out of this world. That's what they said. Anyway, he left his glass down, though, and that thunderstorm, though, he got his seat all wet. Of course, that's got a leather seat in that pickup there, but he puddled. And it just tickled me. I was glad, you know, shouldn't say it, right? But it just tickled me. He sat down in, though, when we come back out meeting. And mine was dry, my side, you know, but you know how the seat part had a good concave. He sat down. I said, boy, I said, you still a kid? You didn't roll your glasses up and you were going to storm? But while we then now, why, that lightning all come out on him there, and one of the waitresses, why, it shocked her so bad until she just dropped the tray and the platter and all on the floor and just tore it all to pieces. Well, it kind of upset her, in other words, and of course they closed them doors of glass, you know, all of the glass that glassed in it, called a green turtle, a pig. But Tom, he paid for his the dinner, and then I was smoking cigars, and he bought me 4 cigars and tipped the lady. He wouldn't let me tip the girl, you know, he gave the girl, I think, 25 or 35 cents and paid for the dinner. Seemed like it was about $1.40, $1.50. And he had a piece of pie, I believe, and a cup of coffee with him. Then we come over to the house, and he wanted to talk about business the rest of the night. You said he didn't want to talk about, you know, things.
Well, what would be business?
Would it be business to him about, you know, about so-and-so. He had a chance to sell so many tractors to that government air base up there, in other words, and they get, you know, 10%, which doesn't sound much, but everybody say that's about $60 or $70 on the tractor. And he said, we think we're going to sell about 20 or 30, and said, that'd be a pretty good little day's work. Yeah. Said, they done give a demonstration of pulling them little tractor, you know, little 10 horse John Deere's. They got a dealership for it. John Deere, 10, 7 to 10, 12. I think some of them 12 horses, isn't it?
Yeah. That'd be a thing to have a thing like that on the place.
But they're talking about, you know, how much money they're going to make, in other words. But he done told me, in other words, about grossing so much this past year when he checked the balance of the book. And that's when I told him, in other words, that's not no good to what you're grossing, in other words. It's what you net is, all right. I said, now I know that way I'm going to work. Where I've been working, I know one year where he grossed, you know, about $120,000 or $130,000. And I said, he figured about half of that is net profit. I did take it on depreciation and everything that he could take off, you know, for equipment, in other words. Got $45,000 or $50,000 worth of tractors alone, not counting other diggers and all, in other words.
What business is he in?
This is a Hastings potato business I'm talking about then. Tom is in the feed and seed, wholesale and retail, both.
And he got them little tractors?
Seeds there. And he got them little tractors, got a whole big room there, bigger than this house, you know, covered up with them. And got a mechanic that keeps them up. He assembles them, you know, puts on the equipment, attachment. Man comes in, wants one, another. If you want the bottom plow, I want to put on a bottom plow. Want the cultivator, I want to put on a cultivator. Put the drawbar on, you know, and set it on a little wagon of $40 or $60 to hook behind it. Haul the leaves out of the lawn. He said, you'd be an ideal man going up here and work for me. He said, I'll start you over 100 a week and I'll give you 10% interest in the business, and time goes, that's where I'm gonna turn to the board, and I got it all figured out, and says, I believe that Luella and I can have to be wise, Luella. We can live on $10,000 a year, and that's about what I'll have coming in.
Okay. Was your daddy able to work when he was right on up to the...
Yeah. In other words, up until, I'd say about 5 or 6 weeks before he taken ill. When he was a young man, he got kicked with a mule in the kidney. You know, within the back. They said the kidney, you know how the old saying is of people. Anyway, it started growth in his back, and it was bothering him every once in a while, and he got away with he and Carol Emerson. Do you remember him? Beecher Emerson, carried the mail 30, 40 years out there. Mm-hmm. Well, he and Dad went together, and they joined up with, I think that man named Frambo, something, chiropractor, no cow. An old man and his son. And they paid $25 a year, and he'd go down there once in a while, and that man would crack that bone, you know, or something or other in his back, and he'd be all right.
Oh, really?
But it was cheaper to pay $25, you know, and go when he went. It would be to go, because every time it'd be $15, $20. So Cal told him that he was doing the same thing, Emerson was. So both of them paid $25 a year.
What happened to Cal?
Cal, he had, I think he was in a neck injury or something, Cal was. He walked kind of, you know how he walked kind of straight.
Yeah.
And I think that's where then his vertebra, what's called a vertebra, it comes up from the neck.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor or anything, but that's where it starts from. But Dad, in other words, he had this ailment and this mule, it started to grow for something, and it hit him all of a sudden, and we rushed him up there to that clinic, you know, they just had it new. You know, here at the Lachaway General. I think they done put on all that addition all since then, but they had that clinic running down in the office doors, and that doctor's still there. His name is Emma was my daddy's doctor. Reason we got Emma, the girl that I went to school with, she's a registered nurse, and she is his nurse, a Dantzler girl. Betty Dance, a red-headed girl, but she was a remarkable person. And I knew, they'd kind of take care of him, and she'd give him the attention he needed and being the nurse. We kept him there for him. He stayed there about 3 or 4 weeks. And one of them got the bill at $1,100. And then, it wasn't costing too much, but that was a lot of money back then. That was in the 40,
yeah.
Let's see, 40. No, in the 50s, because he died in 57. It must have been about 55, 56, about when it was.
He died in 57.
And we paid all that money, and it seemed like Emil, and we suggested he call in another doctor, in other words. He wasn't getting along too well. So then we killed him. My dad had a first cousin in Tampa. It was he and his boy both was what you call a baby doctor and a stomach specialist. That is, he could take out 40 feet of intestine and you still live. He had done it with several people before. It's hard to believe. But Dr. Bertie Smith, my daddy's first cousin, and his boy, Marshall, was a doctor. MD, and had all kinds of degrees. And my older brother was down there, and he's the one that made the connection. He called him and told him, what it was. But my sister, she had talked to my older brother and said that they had a pretty good car then. She said she'd carry him on down there. So we went up there and made him mad, and we got him out of that medical center. Out of that Lachaway General. But we'd paid him, the $1,100. We didn't owe him anything. But after we'd moved him, all of a sudden, we'd come to find out why he did owe something, a little death medicine, about $11. And that's when I told Bertha, my sister, I said, I'm not going to pay it. You can pay it. Because I was staying at the home. I told Bertha, I said, you can pay it, but I'm not paying that $11. I said, we got him out, and he wasn't supposed to have been released until he got clear of your papers. You go in there now, you got to show him your pocketbook before they admit you.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that until a couple of weeks ago. We were carrying out Burdette, and Burdette kept him a good long while, my brother, oldest brother. At the time, I was working with a county agent out of Ocala. And I was rather than stay out there at the Biscayne Hotel on Davis Island. You had an upstairs room, and there's all kind of drunks, you know, and gamblers, you know, going on the radio, you know, sound like, you know, tearing down the house. It wasn't soundproof by any mind, the old type building.
Oh, yes.
And it wouldn't cost anything, the taxpayer money, the county, you know, paying for it. But I told Jippy, he was with me, he and also his daughter. She got that champion steer, you know, that year down there.
Oh, yes.
And she used my milk cow to nurse it on, so, you know, they're good friends, so. We were down and we had a pickup to go back and forth. So we were staying with brother. He had plenty of room, and I says, he's not gonna take any money at all. I know he is. I said, he's like my daddy, too, sweetheart. And he don't want to buy anything, but we'll buy a little bit of meat. He don't care anyone else. So on Friday we'd buy fish, you know, and then during the week while we'd buy, you know, steak. And GP got some sausages, you know, somewhere and carried them. And he'd take care of us when they brought Dad down there sudden, in other words. Then we had to get out. So we had some more people out, boy, married my sister-in-law's niece. He worked for a railroad company, had a fine home, in other words, and had plenty of room. And two boys, they was out in the school, gone to school, and they had the bedroom there then. So Gippy and his sister and myself went over there. And that Dad had mine, and my Dad, you know, died that night. Before Dr. Burditch, you know, got a chance to operate or do anything. He did check him and told him not to eat any supper.
In 57?
57. Told him not to eat any supper, and he jumped out of bed, and my brother caught him, keep him hitting the floor. Just caught him in his arm. But the mother, they called me, and then the boy said, don't you drive over. He thought, you know, if I might have a wreck, you know, driving across the river. It wasn't about a mile across the Hillsborough River. And right off of Hillsborough Avenue. Just one block where my brother lives on Barley, he still lives there. And this boy said, I'll carry you in my car. He had a big, I think a Chrysler automobile, a right new car, and his wife had a car too. She's a bookkeeper of an oil company. So he said, come on, get in here, I'll carry you in my car. So he put that thing about 60 miles an hour, and you know how to hit the traffic, in other words, and he carried me there. And then mama told me, said, I believe he's still, you know, got a little life, you know. She thought he felt his pulse beating, in other words, but he's gone. She told me to take his hand, but he was gone. Then I told him, no, that's just the after effect. I said, he's gone.
Did he take after your granddaddy and like to put food on the table?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, you all had those family reunions.
That's right. You remember when they had them, don't you?
Oh,
We had them up until about 1,000 people or more there about every time we'd have one. We'd have them, you know, and people would come from far and near, in other words,
yeah.
The families, and a lot of time, you know, be friends of the people, in other words, that wasn't any kin whatsoever, in other words, they'd come,
yeah.
And they'd glad and welcome, in other words, and they'd bring a dish or something. Of course, we always had plenty anyhow to feed that many more, in other words, there. Mighty much food carried away is what they ate,
yeah.
You know, carried back home with
it. Well,
but,
you see, that way you got to see people, didn't you?
That's right. You got acquainted with them and meet them, and you just kind of live with people then and
yeah.
Turn for each other. But now then, the idea is that you get this fellow, you know, before he had a chance to get me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so hard to run into people now.
You're right. The world is turning pretty fast, and the fellow says you don't seem like you can't get enough effort up to get on board.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a good way to, you know, answer the question of
people
living too far, too fast, and don't, as I said a moment ago about the meeting, and you'd have an old-fashioned sing, you know, church music, in other words, and my brother, my older brother, he could play the harmonica and one of these pump organs all at the same time, and they make good music.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I like a good, you know, somebody can play one of these regular electric organs, you know, knows how to play it.
You mean, that's your brother in Jacksonville?
No, the oldest one. One is down here at Tampa. One that my daddy was with. He played a harmonica, had a brace around his neck.
Oh, yeah.
And had the harmonica in the thing and played that organ that you had to pump with your feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we had a piano, too, in other words. We had one of those master shakes, in other words, that my granddaddy's kinfolk's a judge in Tavares at Lake County, isn't it? I believe that's Lake County, Tavares. Anyway, somewhere in South Florida.
Oh, yes.
They gave this piano, what's called a Mathershake, one of the Well, it's a high price in the baby grand, though, but it's one of the best instruments is piano, they say. But we had it, but that organ is what we used to play the song by, and had the old-fashioned hymnal that we used, too. But people would come, you know, the neighbors, the friends. Well, of course, we kenned everybody out there, you know, the feasters,
yeah.
The mixers.
Yeah.
You just get the, and the Smith.
Yeah.
And the Whittingtons.
Are you kin to the Smiths, too?
Yeah. Well, not to them out yonder, no. But
no,
Al either. Smith, in
yeah,
other words.
Yeah,
yeah. Live, see, either.
Well, now, look. Was your reunions anything like, who's there? Who is the
Bertha?
No, on the way in to town there.
Louis Graham?
Yes.
Semler. That's right. I've been to several herds.
Have you?
Yeah, and then Bertha, you know, since we've had ours, you might have heard about her. There's so many we couldn't have them at the house, so Bertha, she's pretty well known in making open, pretty well liked. Now, but they, there's a lot of that stuff there in that church, you know, in memory of her, you know, given to her in memory. So she got this Masonic, recreation hall down in Extraction. What do they call that building? They call that something.
Yeah, I know what it is.
What's called that building, that next fashion? But they got plenty of chairs and table, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
So Bertha got it and had the reunion of her, you know, family and children, and still ours.
Oh, really?
And had it up until she died.
Yeah.
We had one, you know, just not too long before she passed away. Because she wanted to have one. Said, no, said all of us are living, all of us children. All the boys and one girl.
Mm-hmm.
And all of her, except she lost one baby when it was young with spinal meningitis, I think. Meningitis, I don't know how. But all the rest of us, we hadn't lost any children or anything. She was the only one in the family, in other words, just living and getting on fine. And she wants all to get together. So we had those things, you know, every...
Do you know Louise Graham's son?
Louise Graham, children, family, raised up with them and all.
You know her son?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Been knowing him since he's a baby. Knowing him when he's a baby. And I don't want him.
Well, now, himself. Andrew can take care of himself?
Hmm?
Andrew can take care of himself?
Can he take care of himself? No, Louise been taking care of him. You mean financially or what?
Well, you know, just take care of himself.
I don't know. I don't know in what respect, you know, whether it's
Well, if anything comes up, he can take care of it.
Well, he thinks he can, I guess, but I don't think he can. This person. He's been the reason I say that, in other words, I wouldn't think so, because he's been involved in several different things, and Louise has to come and help him out or get him out of this, that, and other trouble, in other words, all the trouble he's been in.
Well, I thought.
And ever since he's been alone, why, she's giving him money and she's giving him everything he got.
I thought he could get out of it himself.
No.
I didn't know she had to get him
out. No, he can't do anything, and the girl is just about as bad. In fact, she's.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't believe Juanita's, you know, all up in the story.
Yeah. Well.
She's got a daughter, you know, pretty smart and energetic, in other words, but
yeah.
I don't know. She hadn't done too well.
Yeah.
She lived in my sister's apartment for a long while, and that's when she had the daughter, in other words. Then she separated that man, and she, I think, had 1 or 2 cents in, and now then that Robert boy had a cousin of hers, and somebody said he going with her now. And using his 98 old mobile, and it parked on our shed half the time. I said, well, what's Carson thinking about?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a respectable sort of fellow. And I said, that's his first cousin, in other words. Is he doing it for sympathy for her on account of she's not just right up here or what? But Andrew, in other words, as you said a minute ago, he can't do any business dealings, tend to anything unless his mama helps him out. And he got them children that's raising along that I don't know how they're going to come out. Now, somebody said to hush it up by Louise, in other words, that one of them boys was peddling this pot. They caught. Marjana, what do you call it? Smoking stuff.
Louise
Marjana.
Can take care of herself, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, she can take care of herself.
Well, how did she learn to do that?
From Hoyt, her husband, Hoyt.
He could take care of himself?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, Hoyt could do it.
Now, he did a lot of things.
Yeah. But Louise, she's got a little bit of the ancestors back in her or something, though. They had several dealing. Now, I don't know. I don't like to accuse anyone or none of this circumstantial business is no good. But you, the facts is when you see something, isn't it? Then you got something to stand by, haven't you? But you hear something and repeat it. In other words, then you don't know what you're doing. That's circumstantial. And that's no good in the point of law, see? I learned that enough about in school, in other words. Am I right? Isn't that right? You say you're teaching a little bit. You probably have a little law yourself. I don't know how much you had. But Louise, now, when she learned this somewhere along the road, she knows how to get by this thing somehow or another.
Yeah.
And she's had it coming her way. Of course, she's been pretty lucky, in other words, to getting the money out of the pocket.
Yes,
and
but that's just recent.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean...
from this 75
yeah.
and good
but
many years back. But Horton, way back on where he would work
yeah.
and accumulate something, and he'd live in while he would get some work out of Andrew. But Andrew, in other words, since then, while he's been on his mama, in other words, and she's furnished some automobiles, built some new homes, and taking care of the young and this, that, and the other, and still, you know, to stand by. And he's, you know, went to making moonshine whiskey. She was backing that, but she wanted to back out. But that cost $3,000 or $4,000. Well, $3,000 or $4,000 to her wasn't much good.
Well,
but,
did he do any good with the moonshine?
No, I think the other man was making the money. Andrew was just kind of the handyman, I think. The other man was making the money, but Andrew wasn't getting any of it. That's what I say. His managerial ability is no good.
Yeah.
And he had a chance, you know, where he could make some money with bulldozer work, but he wasn't making any money with that.
With what?
With bulldozer.
Yeah.
Buying the bulldozer.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, he bulldozed this. Woods over here, Freddie Woods.
Yeah.
And he went off to this scrub.
Yeah.
And left that.
That's right. You left the park down in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Well, his mama was putting some gas or anything for the car to get in the station wagon. No.
Let me get my jacket. Do you know,
I certainly enjoyed my
right.
meal and the visit.
Well, I tell you, it was sort of just a
well,
cooked up. I want to cook some steaks for you sometime.
I knew that you were. You don't look like a type of lady and I wouldn't know how to cook anyway.
No, I don't cook very much.
She plays the piano. Right.
I can do that too.
I like
no,
to hear her play it sometimes.
I can cook the steak.
My sister-in-law, you know, she's a accomplished piano.
I can't
with us,
play
you know.
The piano.
You can't?
Oh, no. All I want to tell you is I can cook you a steak though sometimes.
That'd be nice. You want me to bring the steak
no,
with me?
No,
you
know,
got
something
in the box? You don't kill your meat, do you?
You know what we're going to
yeah.
have to do? I'm
yeah.
going to have to come over to your house and talk a little business with you. Come over here, we get talking. Did you ever hear of a fella, it seemed like I heard Willie or somebody talking about one of the old timers around there. What was his name? He went around the neighborhood and...
What did he do? I mean,
different
people.
And he told people how to live a long time.
I must have been remember the P, Dr. P's brother, Dr.
Yeah.
the P from Miami. His boy was up here, and he lived with two or three families and told them how to live. And he lived to be a long age, you know what? And got cancer in his eye and finally carried him out. But he must have been in his 90s already. But he's just as lively, you know. He's kind of flipped, you know, and he's 85 years old. You know
just
what a
like
flip
that.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
And that might have been the one, in other words.
And there was such a person.
Yeah. And he could tell you, in other words, about what you do and all kind of remedies for different things. He
yeah.
tell you a remedy for any kind of thing you bring up. And it would be pretty simple and reasonable.
Yeah.
And like most of them say, you know how the colored people used to be, in other words. Well, they'd take his advice, in other words. They
yeah.
think maybe he had a little information from above. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Says he'd been enlightened, in other words. You know, they talk different things. He'd been enlightened for the man up above, in other words, said he know what he's talking about. We're going to do this. And I don't know where it was at or whether the thoughts or psychological or what it was, but it done some good. Did
well,
Willie told you something about that old fellow?
It seemed like it was Willie, because I've heard several people talk about him. Did you ever run into him?
Yes, sir. I knew him when I was a kid, in other words, and he'd go about, in other words, and he'd come to the bean field and tell people in the bean field how they're supposed to do and this, that, and that. Yeah. And
come
help them every once in a while and talk to different ones.
Come to the bean field?
Bean field, yeah, picking beans.
He didn't pick the beans.
No, they'd pick a little bit each one when he's talking to them to give them a little advice. But everybody liked him though, wouldn't he? He's a witty, and everybody liked him, and he didn't know what he said.
Yeah.
But that's the one that he stayed with Willie's. He stayed with Willie's wife's mother. When Willie's wife coming up, you know, she's not no young chicken. You take Willie's wife is not as old as your wife. Unless she's a lot older than I think she is.
He stayed with...
Willie's wife is 50,
with,
about 52 years old. You're not that old, are you?
Just
16. 39. No, they say 39. That'd be more like it. But he stayed, you know, when them girls, when they were, you know, coming up kids.
Yeah.
But he died when they... he died before they finished school. In other words, little girl were going to school at Reddick, I guess. Sybil graduated. That's when she got a job down at Lowell. A lot of little girls didn't have a high school education, and they couldn't get on down there at the old Cal. One or two went down and seen that man.
He stayed with Sybil's
mother.
Mother.
That's right. And Sybil's daddy, he died when Sybil was just a kid. Johnny was a baby.
Yeah.
The youngest boy was a baby when his daddy died, and Johnny's 44.
Well, now
Johnny's 45 years old.
He didn't get over in your neighborhood.
Minna? No, he didn't get around my side, but he stayed, you know, on my side down toward Plymouth.
Uh-huh.
Then he'd go to Miami once in a while to see his brother doctor.
Yeah.
And he'd stay down there a couple of weeks, and he'd come back, you know, and he'd stay around the neighborhood and lived at, you know, different places. He stayed down there with his folks, in other words, wow. And he's a friend of Willie's daddy and also Willie's uncle, One Eyed. His name is Jim Chitty.
Yeah.
And also that uncle named Martin Chitty lived in a big old house like this one back in the woods. Martin Chitty.
He did do that?
Yeah. Martin Chitty stayed in a big house. And
he did stay there?
Yeah. Yeah, Martin Chitty, not young Martin, but the one Martin was named after. His uncle.
Uh-huh.
That's his daddy's brother.
Yeah.
Martin, you know Willie's brother Martin.
Yeah.
You met him. He was named after him like I named after my granddaddy.
Yeah.
And he stayed in the big old house back in the woods.
And
he's white headed and just like Martin, and they say it when he was a young man, why he looked like Martin.
He died
when them boys were young. Martin must be 55 years old.
The house is not there either?
No, Martin is about 50 years old. No, the house burnt down. Burn bought the place, and it burnt the house. The house caught a fire. Somebody living in it. But it was like this, and a big, about six or seven rooms in it, and a big house, and had a porch all around on three sides of it,
mm-hmm.
All the way around. Didn't have a porch like you got on the top, but on the bottom part it had a porch on three sides. But it was old type, way back young, and I imagine that Martin's granddaddy, some of them may be it. No, and I said, well, somewhere along the line, I reckon them boys, Willie and Martin, had, you know, got that cotton and blood in them. I reckon both of them is pretty good, you know, figuring and doing a little tinkering job.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them kind of slow, but they good job.
Is Martin slow too?
Yeah. But Willie, if you've been around him, you agree with me. Willie's a little slow, but he does a good job.
He got a plumb everything.
Yeah, that's right. Use a rule and plumb everything. Mind the Cecil party, I said. He ought to be working through the using up there. Let me go. I'm keeping you people up there too late.
It's late
for him. I know she needs to be in bed.
Oh, she's having a good time.
A lot of time, my mother was like she was. No, she could stand it better than the young one, too.
Oh, she's a lot gayer than we are.
But I was surprised to find out you're older than you are.
Oh.
I said, enjoyed being in your company, and maybe
well,
I'll see you again.
Well, we hope so.
We said, I don't know. I don't think I've got any decent steak. I probably got some rib steaks.
You don't have to bring the steaks. I got some steaks.
You have? You got some already?
Yeah.
I'll be, where are we going? You got on your Sunday hat. We going someplace?
He's got on his Sunday hat. That's
it's 20 minutes to 10.
Well, he said he's going to have to talk business with you sometime.
I heard I was going to walk. I was going out to the car with you.
Yeah, he's going to run out here with
you. Yeah,
my coat's out there. My
hat.
I'm going to get out here. My cap. I
enjoyed
you
it.
Well, we enjoyed you.
And,
sure did.
You
turn
this
light,
but
it's not that
one I
think. All right.
Listen,
they'll
enjoy having you call them again.
Well, we'll be glad to see you.
Now, this is towards the end of Channel 2 Right and the end of the visit with Everett Smith this Wednesday evening, the 31st of March, 1971. This is close to the end of Channel 2 Right, close to the end of Channel 2 Right, around 9:40. And the end of the visit this Wednesday evening, 31st of March, 1971.